There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Thank you to our subscribers and members of our listening audience.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. This is podcast number 286, June 22nd, 2008. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads get you the F1Weekly.com website for the ads that interest you. From swag to sweepers, Yahoo Ads get you the stuff you really want. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen, and of course, we thank Yahoo Ads. Welcome to France, Steve. It's a glorious day here at Manicourt.
Manicourt, beautiful day at the track. Possible chance for rain, but looks just more like partly cloudy than anything else.
Yeah, 86 degrees, you can't beat it.
Yeah, just a beautiful day in France.
French food, French wine, French beer, and French women.
What more could you ask for?
There is no more.
Yeah, what's wrong with Bernie?
Bernie doesn't know anything about nothing.
You know, I'm surprised he just doesn't, like, rent out a chateau near the track.
He should just buy a couple of chateaus.
You know, and just and deal with it. Yeah, really buy a couple and then rent them out to the teams.
I absolutely agree. So there you have it. Quick rundown on qualifying.
Quick recap of qualifying. Another beautiful day at Manicourt on Saturday. We go out and during the first session, our first five out are Nakajima, Button, Barrichello, Giancarlo Fisichella, and Adrian Sutil. Not a really big surprise there. The lack of pace of the Hondas this weekend is a bit of a surprise. They've been a little bit better in the last couple of weeks, but this week they're way down in the field.
Terrible. And I was surprised with Kaz Nakajima. The Williams aren't showing much pace this weekend.
Yeah, they're not exceptionally fast. And they're having a hard time keeping up with the STRs, which is unusual. Usually they're a little bit faster than the Toro Rosso's.
Exactly.
In the second session, out are Nelsinho Piquet, Nick Heidfeld. Big surprise there. He barely made it in.
Just made it in on his last lap.
Yeah, into the second session, and that was pretty phenomenal. People are really starting to wonder. Also out are Sebastian Vettel, Sebastian Bourdais, and Nico Rosberg. Like you said, a rough weekend for Williams. For some reason, they just can't seem to find any pace.
Brutal weekend for Williams. And it's got to be frustrating for a good driver like Nico, because how long is he going to put up with this?
Yeah, they look like they were gaining some pace in the last couple of weeks, and now, just suddenly getting back to Europe, they're just, you know, maybe it's a fast track. Maybe they don't have that top end. But also the way the Toyotas are showing this weekend, it seems odd that the Williams are so slow.
That's what's so surprising is Timo Glock and Yono Trulli doing an outstanding job. Toyota doing a great job. And that's not trickling down to Williams whatsoever.
Yeah. Unusual in the both Toyotas, both Red Bulls make it into the third session this weekend. Just kind of a little odd in that regard. And then you only had the one BMW and the Renault, as well as the Ferraris and McLarens. Third session, was it my imagination, or did it take them 5 minutes for anybody to get on track?
Well, it took 5 minutes in the second session for anybody to get on track. And finally, Sebastian Bourdais, who was first in the first session, first in the second session. But yeah, everybody just hangs out.
Yeah, it seems, you know, it's like they shortened up the sessions to kind of try to get rid of some of this, and it doesn't seem to have helped much. An interesting session, not a lot of surprises, other than the fact that the Ferraris were stinking fast.
The Ferraris are extremely fast this weekend, looking very, very good, and I think Fernando said it, they're just way too far ahead for anybody to catch them.
Yeah, even the McLarens were having trouble. The McLaren seemed to be doing well in the corners, but couldn't get any top end.
No, and they were running too much downforce, it seemed like. And I picked up on that in qualifying. They didn't have the straight line speed that you saw in Canada.
No, exactly. And the Renaults, on the other hand, had a lot of straight line speed. They were for quite some time during the race, actually. Nelson Piquet was the top fastest, of the timesheet as far as the fastest top end speed. Well, the final results of qualifying are as a follows. A Ferrari front row with Kimi Räikkönen and Felipe Massa 1-2. Lewis Hamilton finishes third in qualifying. Fernando Alonso fourth. Yarno Trulli fifth. Heikki Kovalainen sixth. Robert Kubica seventh. Mark Webber eighth. David Coulthard ninth. And Timo Glock in tenth. But this is not the starting order.
No.
Because one, we know that Lewis has got his 10 spot penalty.
And Nico.
And Nico's also got a, did he get 10 or did he get 5?
He got 10 too.
He got 10 also. And it seemed to me that he kind of got caught up and that wasn't really fair.
It didn't matter. Get 10. There's a level of professionalism that we expect at this pinnacle of motorsports.
Well, that's not going to help Nico anyway because that just means he starts last. I believe somebody else took a grid penalty for a, gearbox change.
There was a gearbox penalty. I believe on Rubens Weber. Barrichello, Mark Webber.
Webber,
Mark
Webber. Place penalty.
And the biggest penalty of all, which it was on Heikki Kovalainen.
Yeah.
For blocking or going too slow on his
basically out
lap or his cool down lap.
Yeah.
And he got a 5-car penalty.
For interfering with Mark Webber's hot lap, which is really a rough penalty to take.
It is, but you know what?
Because there was a lot of traffic in that area. So,
it was talked about. And you got to be aware. You got to look in your mirrors and you got to stay out of the racing line. But nevertheless, McLaren is now not looking so pleasant. So very, very sad day in terms of qualifying for McLaren with the penalties just stacking up.
And you may have been right about it being Rubens that took the gearbox penalty because it was, what I was reading was Webber, was Heike's 5-grid penalty for Webber blocking.
Keep up the good work, Steven.
Sorry.
Well, that's okay. We got plenty of zeros to remove.
Yeah, exactly. I've built up a cache of zeros.
So anyway, there you have it. And of course, Lewis Hamilton will start in 13th place. And he was trying to get pole, but they just didn't have the pace this weekend.
They would have had to run really light to be able to catch the Ferraris. The Ferraris were 5/10 ahead of Lewis.
And I mentioned in the last show, or the previous show before that, that Lewis Hamilton going out and saying that he can still win this race from 10th position is going to jinx him, and sure enough, it does.
Oh, he does not have his best race, nonetheless. And we are. We constantly slap their round back. Grid took a long time to form up.
It seemed like it.
The Ferraris were sitting there for quite some time waiting for everybody to follow in. Narrow track, maybe they're stretching out a little bit further than they typically would because there isn't enough room to warm up the tires, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no speed limit on the formation lap. Yeah. So if they're all going slow, wiggling, trying to get some heat in the tires, it's expected.
Lights come on, lights go out, and we're racing in France.
And Fernando has a bad start. 2 cars pass him.
Yeah, I don't know that it was a bad start as the other guys had a better start because if you look at what the start the Red Bulls had, Fernando had a pretty good start compared to those guys.
Yeah, that's true. But still, we always expect Fernando and the Renault to have really great starts. And like you said, maybe the other guys had a better start. Obviously, Yarno Trulli slips into third and Robert Kubica slips into fourth.
Yeah.
And Fernando's in fifth place. Other than that, a fairly clean start lap.
Exactly. No jousting. Thought there for a minute that was that on the first or second lap where Lewis got right up on the back of Heikki Kovalainen and I saw something come flying off.
And to be honest with you, I thought that Lewis might have damaged
his wing.
But apparently not.
Apparently it was debris on the track or maybe he took something off of Heikki's car. Maybe a little strip of rubber off of his tires.
Exactly. But Bourdais' rear wing does get damaged. By a little incident.
Yeah, nothing serious.
Very trivial.
In fact, this race turns out to be amazingly attrition-free.
Exactly. Lap 2, Kimi Räikkönen with the fastest lap with a 1:17.276. And on lap 4, he repeats it again with a 1:16.992. Lewis Hamilton passes Heikki Kovalainen. And Jenson Button has a damaged front wing.
Yeah, looked like he had a little bit of an off and must have caught it in the grass because we never did get a really good view of it. We kind of saw him go off, and then when he comes back, his wing is busted up. I also wonder if the wing was maybe broken before he went off track.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But he does pit on lap six for a new nose. And I think Nelson Piquet was either spoken to, had a nice, you know, maybe Flavio had a nice little chat with him. But he picked up his driving in this race.
Oh, he had some phenomenal laps. He was able to keep the McLarens behind him literally as long as he wanted.
Yeah, at lap seven, Nelson Piquet has the McLarens pushing him, but he holds them off. I'm very impressed. He didn't break under the pressure. Very, very interesting stuff, because we knew that the McLarens have been having pace problems all weekend. The Renaults looked pretty good.
We know that the Renaults fast in straight line speed, so what Nelson's able to do is leverage that to keep Lewis far enough back that he can't get an inside line on him on any of the good turning corners to get past him.
Yeah, and Lewis Hamilton seems to be locking him up on every chicane.
Yeah.
Every corner.
It seems like every time. And then he also, I think that was the first lap where he sneaks past Vettel. He basically passes Vettel, but he's too hot going into the chicane and cuts the chicane, and he'll pay a price for that later.
And you know what? Big mistake.
Oh, huge.
Huge mistake, and for some reason... And Fernando knows how this feels back in 2006 when he was battling Ferrari and Michael Schumacher and some of this ridiculous penalties. But
the problem is the ones that Lewis is getting pretty much are deserved. He's basically making the mistake to incur the penalty.
And they're watching him because he seems to be prone to be making mistakes. He cuts the chicane, obviously couldn't get by Vettel, but still he could have lost another place if he didn't cut the chicane, and sure enough, he's being investigated by the stewards.
The interesting thing about that is he clearly had the pass, but he was so hot going into the chicane, there's no way he was going to make it back on track without basically running up the back of Bourdais, I think it was.
Exactly. Lap 9, Lewis Hamilton is officially being investigated by the FIA. Lap 10, Kimi Raikkonen with a fast lap of 116.825. And right now, Yarno Trulli is in third place, and he's starting to pull away from Fernando Alonso. Yep. Now, the part that I did not see is when Fernando Alonso was able to get around Robert Kubica. But he did.
Yeah, I think that actually happened either first or second lap. He basically, it was when Robert was still warming up. I think it was first part of the first lap, maybe early in the second. He got him coming off for the first turn complex and was able to get him going into the... to the hairpin.
And Fernando admitted, even in the pre-race, that yes, I am indeed
light.
I mean, you know, obviously, why lie about it? And he was lighter, and that's why he was able to get around Robert Kubica.
But just could not catch the Toyota.
He could not.
Yarno Trulli was running really well.
And this is where I think Williams needs to go talk to Toyota and see what they're doing wrong. Because Toyota and Yarno Trulli himself did a really terrific job.
Seemed to have found some pace.
Holding on to that lead.
It'll be interesting to see what they're like when they get to Britain in 2 weeks.
Exactly. Lap 12, Kimi Raikkonen with another fast lap, a 116.667. And still, Nelson Piquet is holding off the McLarens. Lewis Hamilton does get by Heikki Kovalainen. No big deal, because then...
Yeah,
they announced.
You pretty much can watch that happen, because you can tell Heike's probably got more gas. So, you know, let your teammate get past. Let him try to get by Nelsino. But neither of the McLaren seem to be able to find that spot to get Piquet. Piquet's doing an excellent job of making sure that they can't get the lines they need to get past him.
And sure enough, the penalty was announced for Lewis Hamilton for cutting the chicane, and it will be a drive-through penalty. And on lap 14, he doesn't wait to take the penalty like some people do sometimes, 2-3 laps. He takes it right away and comes out right in front of Sebastian Bourdais for P13.
If you're going to take a drive-through penalty, this is the track to take it on. They said he basically lost only 12 seconds.
Yeah, because it's a super short
pit lane. Pit entrance, pit exit are really tight, close too. This is one of the reasons why this particular track is notorious for 3 and 4 stop strategies, because the pit lane isn't as big a penalty to drive through as it is in some other tracks where it's typically 20 plus seconds for an in and out.
Exactly. And while Lewis Hamilton is in P13, Fernando Alonso pits on lap 16 from P4. So far, a good drive from him. Lap 16, Kimi Raikkonen, once again, another fast lap with a 1:16.630.
And he's stretching his lead out on Massa.
Yeah, he's got a 5-second lead on Massa. Very impressive. Jarno Trulli is sort of keeping up with the Ferraris and stretching that lead in front of Robert Kubica. Heikki Kovalainen still can't get past Nelson Piquet Jr. Call me if that.
If I'm in a happy mood.
Yeah, I mean.
Or if Dad's not around.
If Dad's not around, but Nelson Piquet, he was happy today. You can call him whenever you want. Nelson doing a good job, and I think he's getting the message. And I think he's getting – he was comfortable with the car today.
Yeah, not only that, but I think we're also going to see better pace out of him because now he's going to start getting the tracks that he's raced on before. And I think that's been part of his problem on some of these other courses that we've been to so far is that he hasn't had a lot of experience on these tracks because running in GP2, he hasn't been on any of the foreign tracks. So the European tracks I think are going to be to his benefit.
Lap 18, Jenson Button – apparently has another wandering aimlessly incident.
Well, he
messes
again
up his nose, and he pits. Well, he's attempting to pit, but he doesn't quite make it.
Car quits on him, doesn't quite get to the garage. It was fine. I missed this on the broadcast because I'm like, what? When did he fall out? Yes, Jenson Button is out of the race on lap 19.
And, of course, Fernando Alonso, after the pit, comes out, and he's in front of Lewis Hamilton. And Lewis Hamilton is starting to put the pressure on by lap 19. Finally, Lewis Hamilton does pass him. And I almost thought they might have touched, but apparently they didn't.
They got pretty close. I think that Alonso was also being smart and letting him get past because he knows that Hamilton's going to have to pit again.
Exactly. That was the thought that came across my mind. Rear wing parts begin to fall off Sebastian Bourdais' car. And that was sort of weird. Just little pieces flying off. As he was going around the corner.
Losing the stickers or something.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of chunks.
It was some D-Lam.
Lap 20, Lewis Hamilton pits. Good pit stop, 9.1 seconds. Jarno Trulli pits. Robert Kubica pits. They both go with the hard tires. And Kubica's stop is a 9.4 seconder. Lap 21, Kimi Raikkonen pits. Goes with the hards. And his is a 9.4 seconds. Timo Glock pits. And Adrian Sutil does as well. And apparently what happened was Button in the first nose job hit the back of Sebastian Bourdais' car after some replays, and that's what damaged his rear wing on Bourdais' car, and the parts didn't come off till later.
That's what actually also
that was the first nose.
That's why Button went off, because he had a busted nose.
Exactly. Lap 23, Felipe Massa pits, a 9.4 second. That's the number of the day. And now Kimi Raikkonen is back in the lead. Mark Webber pits, comes out in front of Fernando Alonso. Lap 25, Heikki Kovalainen and Nelson Piquet pit as well. DC pits on the following lap. And here we go, David Coulthard is having another good race.
Another decent race. The one thing, too, about the Piquet-Kovalainen stop is that Piquet got out ahead of Kovalainen still.
Correct. Well,
until the end of the pit lane.
I don't know what happened there.
It almost looked like he slipped a gear or something when he came off the pit limiter or something.
Yeah, because the pit limiter was off because the flashing light stopped. But he went.
He suddenly didn't get on the gas. I'm just thinking like he missed the gear or something.
It's possible, but they'll talk to him about that. Yeah. And of course, Heikki Kovalainen goes right by him saying, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Hasta la
vista.
Don't
have to chase you down for the next 25 minutes.
Exactly.
Some talk of rain coming later in the race. We'll see if that actually happens.
You know, I think the best thing to do is not talk about rain.
Especially if it's the FIA telling you that it's going to, because more often than not, nothing happens. FIA really needs to look at getting a new meteorologist because the guy they got's a little bit weak. You know, it's called radar, buddy. You should be able to tell whether or not the rain's actually headed towards you.
Lap 28. Lewis Hamilton is stuck behind Nico Rosberg. Sebastian Vettel is in P4.
Yeah.
He's having a nice race.
Another good race.
Granted that he hasn't pitted yet, but still, no mistakes. Both Toro Rosso's decent. Vettel is certainly outpacing.
And both of them are still racing after the first lap, which has, you know, been a rather rare occurrence for
exactly.
them.
What they call rain, you know, it was more like spit.
It eventually shows up and it's just, you know, a couple quick washes here and there.
And after we talk about that wonderful drive by Vettel, he pits on the following lap, lap 30. Nick Heidfeld pits, who's not having a great race, but they both have excellent stops. And apparently the hard tire is the tire of choice.
The tire of choice.
People are staying away from the soft because it grains really quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
It has maybe one or two good laps. And that after that, it's just junk.
Fight them.
Exactly. Robert Kubica needs to get around Yarno Trulli.
Yes, he does. And he's going to have a hard time doing it too.
Yeah, Yarno Trulli is not only doing a great job driving the car, the Toyota is superb.
Doing very well. And we've seen Yarno when he's defending a position, he can be a real bear to get past because he's really good at taking away the door and keeping people from getting past him.
That's because Flavio has talked to him a couple of times in the past.
I think it goes back to his experience. You know, it's like, especially after the past that got him fired, I think ever since then, he's been really good at slamming the door on people.
And during lap 31, Fernando Alonso is in fifth place. Lap 33, Lewis Hamilton is P16. A horrendous race for him with the mistake in the chicane, the penalty. The car not really being as fast as it should be.
Yeah, the other issue he's got too is that he seriously needs to score some points if he wants to keep his, you know, stay in the championship race.
Absolutely. And lap 36, it looked like to me that Kimi Raikkonen was beginning to slow. He started dropping into the 119s. And then when he hit the 120s, I'm just going, what the hell? Heck?
Yeah, it seems bizarre that suddenly he slowed down. Massa just, before you know it, Massa's a second behind him. You're like, what? Really crazy. In fact, Massa's putting down a second every lap on him. And apparently the Finn may have a problem.
Of course he has a problem because that would be the only reason why Felipe Massa would be able to catch him so quickly. And sure enough, he does. The exhaust manifold is starting to break up, especially the exhaust pipe that gets the heat away from the bodywork.
Yeah, the one pipe, you basically get a pipe just flapping around back there, just hung on by the temp sensor cable. It's crazy.
And lap 38, Felipe Massa passes Kimi Raikkonen. And now Kimi Raikkonen has got a chore in holding off everybody else behind him.
Yeah, he's basically got to keep his car running and make sure that no one gets past him. And he does a very admirable job. He really gets some good laps. Felipe is pretty much going to be coasting to the end of the race.
Well, he slowed down. He said he lost a little bit of horsepower. But in the end, I think the team, looking at the telemetry, told him, you know, go ahead. You can still push. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And he started picking up the pace again, which was excellent. Lap 40, Nico Rosberg pits with a 9.9 second. Lap 41, Robert Kubica is on Yarno Trulli's derriere.
Yep.
But Yarno Trulli's just...
Yeah, I think of the same kind of situation between the Renault and the McLaren is that Toyota's a better straight line speed or better turning speed, and the BMW was the opposite, so he couldn't get that small advantage he needed to get past him in any one of the passing spots.
Exactly. Heikki Kovalainen passes Mark Webber on lap 41. Lap 42, Fernando Alonso does his second pit stop, goes with the soft tires because you have to, and it's a 9.5 second stop, comes out in P12. And once again, Lewis Hamilton is behind him.
Yeah.
And it's just that's just the way this season has been going.
Well, not like that, but it's just kind of the story of Hamilton's race today. It's just like, being another Renault? What the heck?
Well, not only that, but I thought for sure that Lewis Hamilton was going to press the wrong button and hit Fernando.
Yeah.
I just, for some reason, I kept thinking that.
Or, you know, tie up tires or something, you know, something less than
But I saw stellar. The close-up on the steering wheel of the McLaren, and they had duct tape all over the buttons. You like that? Thank you very much.
Actually, I thought I saw that they had all the buttons removed.
And on lap 45, Kimi Raikkonen is getting to grips with the car, and he's holding on to second place. He's very disappointed by now, but he knows 8 points is 8 points, and he hasn't scored points in the last two races.
Yep.
So this is going to be a good one for him. Keep up the good work, Kimi. And, of course, Ferrari, all the cars are super dependable. Right now,
We have one retirement.
Retirement.
And that being Button. And in fact, by the time this race ends, he will be the only retirement.
Exactly. Lewis Hamilton is pushing Fernando on lap 46, while Robert Kubica pits, goes with the softs. Sebastian Bourdais pits on the following lap, and on that lap, Mr. Lewis Hamilton does finally get by Fernando Alonso, which is not surprising. He was lighter.
Yeah,
lighter. And Fernando Alonso didn't fight it.
No, because he figures he'll probably get him in the next round of pit stops anyway.
Exactly. And here I'm impressed with Kimi Raikkonen on lap 48. He's actually picking up the pace quite a bit.
Yeah.
And almost back into the good numbers.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the two. I think Massa's kind of letting off a little bit to save his engine. And Kimi's managed to get the pace back up. So the telemetry must, maybe with the incoming rain, it's cooling down a little bit to allow them to keep the motor cool.
Lap 49, Mark Webber pits, Timo Glock pits. Mark Webber goes with the softs, 7.3 second stop. I'm impressed with Red Bull's pit stops. They're very, very good.
Good
very stops clean.
Red Bull today.
Yarno Trulli finally pits on lap 50 with Nelson Piquet, call me Junior today because I'm in a really, really good mood. And Yarno Trulli on this pit stop does a really good job because he stays ahead of Robert Kubica.
Which is really important.
So he was able to establish that lead, pit, and stay ahead of the man who really wants to be on the podium because, you know, once you've tasted that champagne de France, you want to have it every race.
Want to get back there again.
Exactly. Lap 52, Kimi Raikkonen pits, goes with the softs, Heikki Kovalainen pits, and comes out in front of Robert Kubica, which I was surprised with, but keep up the good work, Mr. Heikki Kovalainen.
An interesting thing about Raikkonen's stop, it turns out that they didn't pull off that flappy piece of
pipe.
Pipe.
Yeah, but you know, I wasn't surprised because I don't think you could just yank it off. It was probably...
But a pair of dykes just cut that cable.
Yeah, but the problem is the thing's like 600 degrees Fahrenheit.
So gloves.
Yeah, you mean like the oven mitt?
Exactly.
Yeah, keep up the good work, Stephen. Lap 53, David Coulthard pits, including Lewis Hamilton. Lap 54, Felipe Massa pits, goes with the soft, 6.3 second stop. He didn't need much fuel, and he keeps the lead.
Yeah.
Very impressive. The Ferraris are just outstanding this weekend, and they expected to be. Nasser said they would win, and sure enough, when Nasser speaks, people listen. P3 is the position that we want to watch because we know definitely. The Ferraris have the 1-2 by
now. Yeah, and they're a ways out in front. Very interesting. Well, you've got three cars really fighting for that spot. You've got Yarno who's holding it. You've got Heikki Kovalainen who's managed to leapfrog Kubica in the last round of stops, and then you've got Kubica right behind Kovalainen.
So yes, so P3 is everybody's trying to get that. They all have good cars. And the fight till the end of this race for P3 is actually the exhilarating part of this race.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Some pretty good stuff. Heike's really putting it to Yarno. And Yarno's doing a pretty good job of making sure that Heikki doesn't get past him.
And that, of course, we have to say is one of the exhilarating parts of the race. The other part is Nelson Piquet actually having a good race.
Yes, Nelson having a really good race. No stupid mistakes. Which he seems to have been prone to in the last couple of races. And before the end of the day, it's going to be an interesting turn of events for him.
Exactly. Lap 57, Rubinho pits. And more talk about the rain that, I mean, there's a little bit of mist. Yarno Trulli loses a little bit of grip, but he keeps that P3. He's doing a great job.
And that grip could just be the lack of traction control. It may not be a wet track. It might be a little bit into the marbles or something.
Lap 58, Fernando Alonso starting to catch on Mark Webber. Lewis Hamilton passes Timo Glock for P10, and that was a fun pass.
Yeah, it was.
It was excellent. Felipe Massa now is slowing down a bit. He's into the 1-2-1s, 6-5-6s, and I think he's just cruising to the finish of the race. Kaz Nakajima pits on lap 59. Lewis Hamilton now is going after David Coulthard. And, of course, Heikki Kovalainen is still fighting with Yarno Trulli for P3.
Yeah, and Heikki's getting some good looks.
Yeah, not only that, but Robert Kubica is right behind Heikki Kovalainen.
I was just waiting for Trulli to basically go block Kovalainen and have... And some, just duck the corner and take them both.
Yeah, and some of the attempts were really fun to watch.
Yeah, the one that comes on the second to last lap was just phenomenal.
Exactly. Garnaut we'll truly is sort of holding up Kovalainen, Kubica, but in reality, truly knows those two cars behind him are faster than he is.
Yeah.
Now it's time to be el hombre muy macho de Italia. And he's in France. He's already got an emotional scar from France because of what happened with him and Ferrari, Rubens Barrichello passing him in the last chicane in the last lap a few years ago. So Garnaut Trulli is not going to let that happen again because he would be scarred for life.
He might have to just walk away right after this race.
The rubber room. Lap 62, some parts are starting to fall off. Kimi Raikkonen's car.
The exhaust tube finally breaks off.
Exactly.
Thank God it flew off in a corner off the track and didn't get, I was really worried for Sebastian Bourdais there for a while. And the thing was bouncing around back there that it was going to come off and, smack him in the head or something.
Exactly. And, lap 64, 65, everybody's cruising and, the big fight is really for P3.
Right. Kubica's starting to fall back a little bit. Either they're on the soft compound, so more than likely he's burned up the good laps in those tires and he really can't stick with the truly Kovalainen battle.
And, we're not getting any fast laps anymore. The last fast lap was Kimi Raikkonen on lap 16. After that, the Ferraris went into cruise mode, even with the damaged exhaust. Kimi Raikkonen had no problem holding on to P2 after they figured out everything was good. And I started thinking, if Garnaut Trulli pulls this off, this is going to be his first podium since Barcelona 2005.
Wow.
Very impressive stuff there. And on lap 68, Fernando made a mistake.
Well, I think what happened is the two of them got into a bunch of traffic, and I think one of the Force Indias was involved. And basically kind of tied Fernando up.
And Nelson actually did some good thinking, took advantage of it, and passes Fernando Alonso. That pass caused Nelson Piquet to become a man.
Maybe get him, buy him another race.
Perhaps, but I'm sure.
Pack another one onto his three remaining.
Exactly. And that meant that he was now in P7. Fernando was in P8. Very, very good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Good for Renault. They need every point they can get. Not the greatest race. They're in front of their people, VIPs from Renault, the hot shots.
All their VIPs are there this weekend.
Exactly. So I was glad that they both finished the race.
And in the points, which is
important. Nelson Piquet didn't do any stupid mistakes.
Exactly.
Very impressive. Heikki Kovalainen. Okay, it's lap 69. Heikki Kovalainen is thinking.
It's kind of now or never. I got to get him.
Exactly. I mean, we've only got a couple more laps left, and he really makes a super intense try.
A really good move and truly just...
And I thought those two wheels touched.
They did. He bumped him off.
Yeah, there was just a snippet of Dijon Prenois 79. He's off! He's back again!
Yeah, it was just enough to get Heikki off through the chicane, and that was pretty much it. That was, Heikki wouldn't get close enough.
Well, not only that, but Heikki realized, I better get some points in P4. Quit doing this stuff because he loses it.
It was the one chance. I think that was his one chance. And after that, he basically had to pull it off to get the points because McLaren is desperate for points.
Not only that, but this is the last lap. Garnaut Trulli still flashing back to Renault and Flavio going, you're fired. You're fired.
Exactly.
And he just doesn't want to have any of it. And Garnaut Trulli finishes race on the podium. Congratulations to Panasonic, Toyota, and of course, Mr. Trulli for doing an outstanding job. I think it was the best drive of this race.
Yeah, I think so. Basically, he had a car that probably wasn't as bad as it seemed, but it was definitely not up to snuff. If Heikki or Lewis had been further up in the on the grid to start the race, Trulli would not have finished third. Excellent race. So we end up with Massa winning the race, Kimi Raikkonen in second, and Trulli finishing off the podium in third. Kovalainen finishes a fine fourth. Good job coming back up from his five-place penalty. Robert Kubica finishes fifth. Mark Webber in sixth. Again, Webber in the points, kind of quietly finishing the race, having a good race. You don't hear much about it, but he finishes well. And then following him are Nelson Piquet in seventh, Alonso in eighth for the final points-paying position, followed by David Coulthard. Lewis Hamilton finishes the race in 10th, gaining 6 spots on his, or actually 3 spots from his 13 his 10 grid penalty. He's followed by Timo Glock, Sebastian Vettel. Nick Heidfeld finishes 13th. Another poor race for Nick Heidfeld. Rubens Barrichello in 14th. Nakajima in 15th, finishing ahead of his teammate Rosberg in 16th. Bourdais, Fisichella, Sutil, and Button retired on lap 53.
So just one car retires. Everybody else finishes the race. The second part of today's program is pointing to Williams, what happened.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that nobody was more than a lap down either.
That's true.
Which is true. Pretty
so everybody had decent pace, but what happened to Williams?
Good question.
This is just unacceptable for a team of that caliber.
Yeah, they're basically just barely staying ahead of Bourdais and the Toro Rosso.
They're down with Sebastian Bourdais and the Force India.
Yeah, and their pace wasn't much better than Force India at this track. Basically, the final lap of the race, Sutil throws down a 1:19.179, and Nakajima's lap was a 1:19.293.
So, yeah.
I don't know what, maybe somebody made a bad choice on downforce calculations. They were going with too much downforce when they needed more top end, or vice versa. They didn't have enough downforce and were trying to get too much top end. I'll be very interested to see. Hopefully, they'll bounce back for the British Grand Prix and get themselves back up into the middle of the pack.
Not only that, but Lewis Hamilton once again making mistakes, getting hit by penalties. Not a single point for him. Luckily, Heikki Kovalainen was able to salvage a few points, but McLaren is beginning to fall.
Well, it's almost like they're racing with two rookie drivers. It really is. The kind of mistakes that are being made are just really kind of rookie type. Everything that Hamilton did this weekend was rookie mistake. He's having his rookie season a year late.
Not only that, but I think he's breaking under pressure. There was a lot of media. Lewis Hamilton came out all weekend saying that the media is not affecting him because the British press are starting to get on him. People are saying, could this be, is the life of glitz and glam affecting him? Is he not focused? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, ultimately, as much press as he gets, you can't be unaffected by it. It's just too much. He's getting bombarded every time he steps into the public eye. And, you know the British tabloids would probably get 5 or 6 photographers chasing him everywhere.
Exactly.
Trying to get that photo with some starlet or whatever to put on the front page.
We're starting to get those pictures now. And that they're even saying, we're not getting the giggly Hamilton who would shake everybody's hand in the garage, and he was so happy last year. That's not happening anymore.
Because he had the world champion as a teammate who was helping him get his car set up perfectly for each track.
Exactly. So, things have changed dramatically at McLaren. They're in third place, but they lost more. They're still in third place in the Constructors' Championship. Lewis Hamilton is now in fourth place with 38 points, while Felipe Massa has 48 points.
And now he's got two races in a row where he hasn't scored. Not a good thing. He's going to have to pick it up for the British. Otherwise, he can start waving goodbye to the Ferrari. It's going to end up being a Ferrari Kubica race for the championship.
Yes, certainly. And I think he needs to step it up for his home Grand Prix. A lot of fans there. Silverstone is sold out basically because of the success of Lewis Hamilton had last year. But that will quickly diminish if he doesn't stop making the mistakes.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. At least he won't start next week's race with a penalty, but he's got to stay away from the dumb mistakes. Like, basically, you could go, Vettel tricked him on that chicane mistake.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing.
I don't know. Things are, I know it's that's why it's the pinnacle of motorsports. The pressure can be tremendous, but they have a good car. McLaren's a good team. They'll get around this corner, but Lewis Hamilton really needs to take the lead because I remember at the beginning of the season, he was considered the leader, but Heikki Kovalainen is doing an outstanding job there. And not making those kinds of mistakes.
We didn't make the big mistake today. The fact that, I think, again, the blocking and qualifying penalties are really subjective. It's a hard one to take because you're on your way in. You can't see the guy coming up behind you until he's right there. It's tough. You almost, maybe they need to go to NASCAR spotter type of thing where they've got somebody up on the top of the towers going, "Look out, he's coming up behind you,"
Excuse me? What? I have no clue about what you're talking about, Steven.
I know you know nothing about spotters and that kind of stuff, so
nothing.
Leave it at that.
Yeah, but I'm sure Skoll is half price today at Infineon Raceway, one of our local racetracks, and NASCAR is there.
You're there. Save Mark 350.
Well, what's interesting, it's 350 kilometers.
No way.
Yeah. I heard them say it. It's not 350 miles. And they say kilometers, that way they can charge more money at the door.
Than charge people in Europe?
Metric is always more expensive.
Okay, so they basically get him for, like, oh, by the way, your ticket's 15 euros, which translates to $25.
Sorry. And some of our local radio people here in the San Francisco Bay Area, I heard some comments about the race, and even they were saying that now this weekend they have to turn left and right.
Yeah, it was. I was just caught a little bit of a late practice session yesterday. It was fun watching them because you'd see them accelerate out of the corner, and the nose would come up, and then they'd break into the corner, and the nose would come down. It's like, don't you guys know something about springing a car so that it doesn't jump like that?
Well, the biggest problems with those 3,500-pound stock cars is actually keeping the front wheels and grip on the front wheels.
Yeah.
But enough of that. But I'll probably watch a couple minutes of it.
Yeah.
At least it's a road course. It's an excellent road course. Infineon Raceway, or formerly known as.
It's fun to see those stock cars go left and right because you can tell the guys that enjoy that kind of racing. You can tell the guys who don't because the guys who do are really aggressive. The guys who do it are just like pansies.
Exactly. So keep up the good work. I'm sure NASA is enjoying every minute of this NASCAR race. So I want to thank everybody who makes this possible. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.